today. One out of every four Christian adults believes Jesus could return in their lifetime. The Old Testament prophet Daniel gives us the skeletal outline of all future Bible prophecy and is the key to understanding the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ himself quoted from Daniel, assuring us of its truths. This book contains Daniel's predictions of four world empires that will rise and fall, his predictions of a final world empire that will be led by a new and powerful global leader, and his warning of an alignment of nations that will come against the nation of Israel in the last days. Where do we find ourselves in the events Daniel describes? How do Daniel's prophecies fit into such events as the rapture, the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, and the second coming of Christ? Today, we will take you step by step through the book of Daniel to help you understand its message and the events God foretells are up ahead. My guest is journalist and prophecy scholar Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who has lived and reported from Jerusalem since 1991 and has interviewed every Israeli prime minister over the last 15 years. Join us for this special edition of the John Ankerberg Show.
Welcome to our program. We're taking you step by step through the book of Daniel, and we're comparing that to the book of Revelation and trying to tie the two together and also trying to tie it to the events that are happening in our world so you can understand the power, the impact these books have and where God says we're going in the future. You know, the fact is that Daniel gave some amazing, amazing prophecies. Jesus Christ himself quoted from Daniel quite a bit in his sermons, and you find that in the New Testament. And one of the things that Daniel talked about that's coming and is a world empire that's going to be controlled and led by a political leader called the Antichrist in the future. And there's going to be a time period, which represents our third pillar over here in Daniel, a time period in which things are going to happen after the rapture, followed closely by the alignment of the nations against Israel. Now, Jimmy, for our folks that are just joining us this week, we got three white pillars that are talking about the outline for the book of Revelation. What are these pillars? And then again, what are these pillars and where are we at this week?
As we look at the three in front of me here, those would represent the three main events in the book of Revelation in the future. The first one from your left to right would be the rapture of the church. There's a space between that and the second pillar, which represents the second coming of Jesus Christ. That space between is a 7-year period of time, John, which is talked about as the terrible time of Jacob's trouble in the book of Jeremiah, but it's also the tribulation period. It's a time of judgment upon the earth. God gives Jesus Christ the title deed to the earth to bring the earth under submission and earth dwellers under submission during that period of time so he can come back and set up his kingdom, which is the space between the second and the third pillar, and that's a 1,000-year period of time, the millennial kingdom, followed by the great white throne judgment, at which time Jesus Christ will be the judge. He'll sentence those who have rejected him into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and then eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem unfolds after that. But that 7-year tribulation period, though there are 16 chapters in the book of Revelation that give us details about it, when you come to the book of Daniel, represented by these four pillars, and these are the four main chapters of prophecy in the book of Daniel. This is chapter 2, the revival of the old Roman Empire. And the structure, I believe, is in place for that.
Previously, in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, God twice revealed to Daniel that four world empires would rise and fall in the future, followed by the emergence of a final future stage of the fourth world empire. First, in chapter 2, God revealed King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation to Daniel of a large statue. God told Daniel that the statue indicated four future world empires that would arise. Second, in chapter 7, God revealed more information to Daniel about these four world empires using the symbols of four beasts. Notice that God identified the same four empires, even though he used different symbols. If you compare chapter 2 and chapter 7, the golden head of the statue and the lion both indicate the Babylonian Empire. The chest and arms of silver and the bear both indicate the Medo-Persian Empire. The thighs of brass and the leopard indicate the Grecian Empire. And the legs of iron and the terrifying beast with 10 horns indicate the Roman Empire. Notice that the 10 toes and 10 horns, which God says are 10 future kings, all point to the emergence of a final future stage of this fourth world empire. Finally, notice how God progressively gives more information about the final world empire made up of 10 leaders. God says when these 10 leaders come to power, another leader, depicted by the symbol of the little horn, will emerge. This new proud political leader, described throughout the Bible as the Antichrist, will displace 3 of the existing 10 leaders and take control over their political entity and control the commerce of the whole world. Listen as Jimmy explains how the events in Daniel chapter 7 describe not only the future world empires that will take place, but also the emergence of the future political leader called the Antichrist. And finally, how Daniel chapter 9 reveals that a time is coming on the world that the Bible calls the terrible 7-year tribulation time period, a time in which we will see 3 things, the Antichrist, a peace treaty with Israel, and the rebuilding of the Jewish temple.
The last time we were together, we talked about the little horn that comes out of the 10 horns. 10 horns in chapter 7 and verse 7, the little horn in verse 8. When you look at the rest of chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, it defines the Antichrist. He will not be subservient unto any god at all. He will be a willful king. He will do exactly what he wants to do. He will speak blasphemy against the Most High God. It's referred to in Revelation chapter 13 that indeed he will use blasphemy against the Most High God, which is talked about in the book of Daniel, making the connection between these 2 very important prophetic books. What's interesting, John the Revelator was able to have read the book of Daniel. And Jesus Christ, as you mentioned a moment ago, did refer to the book of Daniel. In fact, when we come to chapter 9 in today's study, we're going to see what he was talking about there in chapter 24 and verse 15, when he's talking about the abomination of desolation as spoken of by the prophet Daniel. That in a moment. But here we see the little horn coming out of the 10 horns. The 10 horns would be 10 kings who come to power in the last days. They are political leaders. And when we say 10, that number 10, we talked about the European Union as the infrastructure for the revived Roman Empire. Well, they have 27 member states. They're going to add another 17, the Mediterranean Union. That'll be 44 member states. That constitution, and I say constitution, they called it a treaty, the Lisbon Treaty, but it's basically a constitution for the operation. It's the law of the land today for the European Union. And one of the articles in that treaty that they signed in Lisbon, called the Lisbon Treaty, it's been ratified in November of 2009. Now it's in place, and it's gelled the European Union as a political unit. One of those articles calls for the union to be divided into regions. Thus, that gives them an opportunity to manage the entire 44 member states. And the number mentioned, even by the headquarters of the European Union, 10 regions, which they'll divide into. And in fact, they're already in the process of dividing those regions. The book of Revelation, though, when it deals with the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, there must be the revival of the Roman Empire. There must be then the appearance of the Antichrist before we get into the entire 7-year period of time. During that 7 years, there will be 21 judgments that get progressively worse as they go through the 7 years. There will be 2 witnesses that will preach from the city of Jerusalem. And those 2 witnesses will have results immediately with 144,000 male virgin Jews that come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. They spread around the world, leading everybody to the opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That'll be followed by the seven trumpet judgments, the seven vial judgments, and the trumpets and the vials, ecological judgment upon the face of the earth, the ocean turning to blood, the fish in the sea dying, etc. That is culminated with the kings of the east making their way into Jerusalem for the Battle of Armageddon. And then Jesus Christ returns to Jerusalem, chapter 19, verse 11 and following of the book of Revelation, and sets up his kingdom. Now, let me remind you again, I said it a moment ago, but it's important that we drive this home to everybody, that after the rapture of the church, the seven-year period does not start. The clock will not begin ticking until we get to chapter 9. Chapter 2, we have the revival of the Roman Empire. Chapter 7, we have the appearance of the leader of that empire, the Antichrist, the willful king, all of the names that he has throughout all of the scripture. This leader, I believe, has to be in place because what he's going to do when we look at chapter 9 in just a moment, he is going to confirm a peace treaty. He's going to be a major player in the seven-year period of time. And we also see, next time we get together, we'll talk about chapter 11, which is the alignment of the nations that come against Israel. The Antichrist will be a major player as these nations form a coalition to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. He's going to be the false Messiah. Jesus Christ referred to him in his Olivet Discourse as the false Messiah. Those Jewish people are going to accept a Gentile. Isn't that interesting? He comes out of the Gentile world. The Jewish people accept a Gentile as their Messiah. Many people ask me, how in the world will that happen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Those who have rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them a strong delusion so that they believe the lie. They believe the lie of Satan, that this is their Messiah. That will set the stage for chapter 9 to be fulfilled with the tyrant, the treaty, and the temple.
Yeah, we've got a time period that the Bible says is coming up ahead. And in that time period, the terrible time of the tribulation that takes place after the rapture, there are three things that Daniel and Revelation say must appear, must happen, events that must take place. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the tyrant, the treaty, and the temple all taking place inside of pillar number three. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. I'm here with my guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who's a journalist and a prophecy scholar who lives in Jerusalem. He's done it since 1991. And we're taking you through the book of Daniel, step by step through the book of Daniel. And these four pillars represent the key chapters in Daniel that you can put the other chapters around. And these then relate to the book of Revelation. And Jimmy, we're talking about a time period with pillar number three, the terrible time of the tribulation. Explain that and then bring it back to Revelation.
Daniel 9:27 talks about the seven-year period of time that's described over here between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ. Again, I remind you, short period of time before the tribulation starts. But it says in Daniel 9:27, and he referring to the Antichrist, in fact, it refers and it modifies the term in verse 26 of Daniel 9, the prince that shall come, one of the 27 names for the Antichrist, and he shall confirm that peace treaty with the Jewish people and the neighbors of the Jewish people, their enemies, for 1 week, a seven-year period of time. It's during that time that the Antichrist starts the clock ticking on the seven-year tribulation period, the confirmation of the peace treaty. But again, it has to be a world leader of prominence in this world on the stage today that can indeed command the authority to establish peace between the Jewish people and their enemies. That's a very key component here.
And oh, by the way, everybody's waiting for that fellow to come on because we need a peace treaty between the Palestinians and Israelis and everybody else. Iran's threats and Syria's threats and some of the other people are threatening them. The fact is we need peace in the Middle East. We all agree. We don't have it. This treaty is talked about right now and you're saying it's coming.
Well, in fact, I believe it's already on the table, John. There are actually three treaties on the table now between Israel and some of her neighbors. For example, back in 1979, It was the Camp David Accords. Jimmy Carter, then president of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, then the prime minister of Israel, Menachem Begin, met at Camp David, which is the presidential retreat ground in Maryland, just out of Washington, D.C., and they put together the Camp David Accords, a peace treaty, in fact, the first peace treaty in the history of the world between Israel and one of her neighbors, between Egypt and Israel. That peace treaty on the table, but that peace treaty has never been normalized. It's on the table. It's simply not working. The second peace treaty I would talk about would be the Oslo Accords, September the 13th, 1993, the White House, Washington, D.C., then President Bill Clinton with the Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, and Yasser Arafat, the leader of the Palestinian people. They come together, they sign the Oslo Accords, supposedly to be a peace treaty between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Well, that one's on the table. And every day's activities in Israel indicate that peace treaty is not working, never has been normalized, on the table, not working. A year later, and I was at this peace treaty signing there in Jordan, in the Arava, which is an extension of the Jordan Valley, there King Hussein of Jordan and all of his politicos, Yitzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel, all the Israeli politicos, along with Bill Clinton, the President of the United States, they come center stage. They sign this peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. Again, another peace treaty on the table, not working. Recently, there was a survey taken among Jordanians. 97% of the Jordanians said, though they have a peace treaty with Israel, they do not believe it's worth the paper that it's written on. It is not working. But what's interesting, the text says in the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27, that he, the Antichrist, will confirm. Doesn't mean he will sign a peace treaty. The word in Hebrew is gabar, G-A-B-A-R. It literally means to confirm, strengthen, or make stronger. So these peace treaties, the three of them on the table, not working, will be confirmed by this tyrant, the Antichrist, who comes on the scene. That then sets the stage for the third element in the tribulation period, and in fact in the first 6 months of the tribulation period, a temple standing on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem.
It also opens up the door for this fourth one that's coming, and just give us a taste of the fourth pillar here.
The fourth pillar talks about an alignment of nations. When the first nation to move against Israel, Syria, makes their attack, then all the other nations that have come together in a coalition will attack Israel. It's the second of the sealed judgments at the beginning of the tribulation period. We'll get more into that next week. But indeed, you're exactly right. That peace treaty is that which sets the stage for these to attack Israel, because Israel thinks the Messiah is here. They're living in peace. They lay down their weapons, and in comes this alignment of nations. John, you've got to remember that every single world leader is doing whatever he or she can to bring peace to the Middle East. The Obama administration has ratcheted up their efforts. They are now working with their peace envoy to the Middle East, George Mitchell. They've asked Tony Blair to come alongside and help them bring peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, which everybody says if they get that peace in place, then peace will spread throughout the Middle East. Tony Blair, in fact, said we could have that peace within 1 year. But there's another element that we need to get into more details about, and that is the temple. The temple has to be standing at the midway point of the tribulation over there, halfway between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ, because the Antichrist is going to walk into the temple, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, sit down and claim to be God. So there must be a temple early on in the tribulation period. We see that as the third element in Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9:27. I have to tell you this, John, I've done great investigation and documentation of the preparations to build the temple. They have selected the 28,000 men needed to be the priest and do those priestly duties out near Jericho now. Those 28,000 men who have the book learning from the book of Leviticus are now getting hands-on training with the sacrificial system that they're practicing in preparation to go to the Temple Mount and do all this need there. They have the 4,000 harps that will be played by the Levites when the temple is standing in the city of Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin is in place. The Sanhedrin are those men, those 70 wise Jewish scholars who administer the temple. They've selected the high priest. The priests even have their garments. They're in boxes now. They're in the homes of these men qualified to be priests with a little note on top of the box. And it says this: when you see the Dome of the Rock destroyed on the Temple Mount, put your priestly garment on and report immediately to the Temple Mount. We're ready to move forward. They know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Everything is set. They got the red heifers ready to have the ashes to accomplish what that needs to be done. Every preparation for the temple is in place, and they're ready to start building the temple. But the tyrant and the treaty had to be in place first. Then the temple comes alongside.
All right, folks, what we're going to do in a program up ahead, we're going to take you to Jerusalem, where Jimmy and I actually filmed some of these utensils that are being made for the temple. They're already on display, and we've got the pictures, and we will show that to you in a program up ahead. But next week, we're going to the fourth pillar, which is current events, Jimmy. It's the alignment of the nations that are coming against Israel. God says it's going to happen, and we're going to talk all about the events that he says are going to happen, and we're going to talk about that via Daniel and the book of Revelation next week. So I hope that you'll join us then.
For additional resources, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.